إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. نعود أيها الأحبة، بعد أن أدينا صلاة المغرب، لنواصل حديثنا حول علامات فلاح الأمة كما ذكرها رب العالمين سبحانه وتعالى في أول سورة المؤمنون، حيث قال عز وجل: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون، والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون، والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون، والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون، إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين، فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون، والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون، والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون، أولئك هم الوارثون، الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون. وقد تكلمنا عن المحافظة على الصلاة، وعن إيتاء الزكاة، وعن الإعراض عن اللغو، ونحن نتحدث الآن إن شاء الله تعالى عن العفة كعلامة من علامات فلاح الأمة. إذا ظهرت العفة في المجتمع، إذا ظهرت الفضيلة، إذا اختفت الرذيلة، إذا لم تقع في المجتمع فاحشة، فهذه علامة من أهم علامات فلاح الأمة. والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون، إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين.
الشيخ بيجامة خطبة الحاجة and he's saying, all brothers and sisters, we continue where we left, and alhamdulillah, we pray for Salat al-Maghrib. We continue mentioning the signs for the success of this ummah and other reasons for the success of this ummah, and we ask the omission by Allah in the beginning of Surat al-Mu'minun, where he said what means: in the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Successful indeed are the believers, those who offer their salah with all solemnity and full submissiveness, and those who turn away from Allah, false talk or talk which is no benefit, and those who pay their zakah, and those who guard their chastity from their illegal sexual acts, except from their wives or what their right hand possesses. And whoever seeks beyond that, then those are the transgressors. Those who are faithfully true to their amana, all the duties to Allah has ordained, honesty, responsibilities and trusts, and to their covenants, and those who strictly guard their five compulsory congregational prayers, these are indeed the inheritors, those who shall inherit the Firdaus, the paradise, and they shall dwell therein forever. And we have proceeded to mention three of the traits, and this is, we mentioned about the preserving of the prayers and the giving of the zakah and turning away from Allah, the talk which has no benefit. And now inshallah, the fourth trait which I mention is al-ifa, chastity, as Allah mentioned in these ayahs, where he said what means: and those who guard their chastity except from their wives or what their right hand possesses. The Sheikh mentioned and said that chastity and noble manners don't show up in a society except that it will be successful. And obscenity and lewdness doesn't come up in a society except that it will be destructive. So from the signs or the traits to gain success is chastity.
يقول العلماء الأصل في الأشياء الإباحة إلا ما نهى عنه الشارع.
The scholars say the essence, the origin of things is that they're permissible except what the legislation, the Sharia has made it impermissible.
كل ما شئت ما لم ينهك الشارع.
Eat whatever what you want as long as the Sharia did not say it is impermissible.
اشرب ما شئت ما لم ينهك الشارع.
Drink whatever you want as long as the Sharia did not make it impermissible for you.
البس ما شئت ما لم ينهك الشارع.
Wear whatever you want as long as the Sharia did not make it impermissible for you.
أما الفروج فهي على خلاف هذا الأصل.
As for the private parts, then it is opposite, contrary to this principle.
فالأصل في الفروج الحرمة.
So the origin, the essence in regards to the private parts is that they are impermissible.
حتى يبيحها الله سبحانه وتعالى.
Until Allah makes them permissible for you.
والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون.
The ayah says what means, and those who guard their private parts.
فالأصل في الفروج أن تحفظ.
So the essence or the origin in regards to the private parts is that they are guarded.
إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم.
Except from their wives or what the right hand possesses.
والله سبحانه وتعالى قد أمر عباده المؤمنين بحفظ الفروج.
And Allah has ordered or promised His good believers that they have to preserve the private parts.
فقال سبحانه قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم.
Allah said, say to the believers, male believers, that they protect their private parts and they lower their gaze.
والأصل أن النساء شقائق الرجال.
And the essence or the origin of things in Islam is that the women are like the men.
فكل أمر وجه لجماعة المؤمنين فالمؤمنات داخلات فيه.
So every command which is directed to the mu'minin, the male believers, the female believers are included in that.
إلا أن الله سبحانه وتعالى لخطورة هذا الأمر أفرد المؤمنات بالأمر فقال وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن.
But you see, because of the importance and the great nature of this matter, even in this ayah, even though we said the nature of things that the women are included in the call or in the command, but in this context, Allah specified them and even gave them a specific command saying, and say to the female believers that they protect their private parts and lower their gaze.
وَلَمَّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى حِفْظِ الْفُرُوجِ بِالْمَغْفِرَةِ وَالْأَجْلِ الْعَظِيمِ أَيْضًا لَمْ يَخُصَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بَلْ جَمَعَ بَيْنَ ذِكْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ.
And when Allah promised for those who preserve their private parts, they promised them with a good reward and forgiveness for their sins, He not mentioned on the male believers, but specified and also mentioned the female believers.
فقال سبحانه والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.
Allah said what means, and those male believers who preserve their private parts, and those female believers who preserve their private parts, and those male believers who remember Allah a lot, and those female believers who remember Allah a lot, Allah has promised them forgiveness of their sins and a great reward.
وقد توعد الله تبارك وتعالى الزناة والزواني بأشد العقوبات في الدنيا والآخرة.
And Allah has promised the male and female fornicators with a severe punishment in this world and in the hereafter.
قال سبحانه في بيان عقوبة الدنيا الزانية والزاني فاجلدوا كل واحد منهما 100 جلدة ولا تأخذكم بهما رأفة في دين الله إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر وليشهد عذابهما طائفة من المؤمنين.
Allah said what means, and they fornicate male and female, then lash them 100 lashes, and let there be a group of the believers witness that, and do not let emotions or do not let mercy take you away from that, from observing that command.
وهذه عقوبة الزاني البكر الأعزب.
And this is the punishment of the fornicator who is a virgin who is not married.
الذي لم يسبق له الزواج.
Who never got married before.
أما إذا زنى الإنسان رجلا كان أو امرأة بعد الزواج فحده الرجم بالحجارة حتى الموت.
As for the person who commits fornication after he or she had previously been in a marriage or is in a marriage currently, then the punishment is that they are stoned to death.
وقد كان في القرآن الكريم آية لفظها الشيخ والشيخة إذا زنيا فارجموهما البتة نكالا من الله والله عزيز حكيم. فنسخ اللفظ وبقي الحكم فرجم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ورجم أصحابه من بعده.
And there used to be an ayah, a verse in the Quran which used to say the old person, male and female, when they commit fornication or adultery, then punish them a punishment, then stone them, which is a punishment from Allah. A punishment from Allah and a reward for what they did. But this ayah was abrogated in recitation. It is no longer recited, but its ruling still remains. It was abrogated in its recitation, but its ruling still remains. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ stoned and Abu Bakr and Umar.
وتجديد العقوبة إنما كان لأن هذه الفاحشة تترتب عليها مضار عظيمة.
And the toughness of this punishment is because this evil sin, there's so many effects, ill effects of them, of it coming away from it.
فبها تنتهك الأعراض.
So by it you see the honors they are transgressed upon.
ويدنس الشرف.
And you see the lineages they are tainted.
وتختلط الأنساب.
And you see the progenies they are mixed.
فحفاظا على المجتمع من كل هذه المضار نهى الله تعالى عن الزنا وشدد العقوبة فيه.
So to preserve the society from all of these problems, Allah specified this tough punishment for adultery and fornication.
أما عقوبة الآخرة
As for another punishment in the hereafter,
فقد قال تعالى والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا.
Allah says what means, and those who do not set up rivals with Allah, and those who don't kill an innocent soul, and those who do not commit zina, adultery or fornication, and whoever does that, he'll be somebody who is blameworthy. He'll be punished in the hellfire and he'll stay there while he is humiliated.
وفي الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه رأى رؤيا فقال إنه أتاني رجلان فابتعثاني وإنهما قال لي انطلق فانطلقت معهما. فذكر حديثا طويلا فيه حتى أتينا على مثل التنور هو الفرن فرن النار وإذا فيه رجال ونساء عراة يأتيهم اللهب من أسفل منهم فإذا أتاهم ضوء صرخوا وصاحوا. فقلت من هؤلاء؟ قال هؤلاء الزناة والزواني.
In authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, I was shown a dream, and those two men who came to me, and they were sent with me. So they took me and we went somewhere. And it's a long hadith, but part of what he mentioned, Rasulullah ﷺ says, so we came across a furnace or an organ, where those people who are naked, they are in male and female. And they used to come under them a flame of fire. And when it came to them, they would scream so much. So he asked, who are these? And I was told, these are those who commit adultery or fornication.
فالحضر كل الحضر من هذه الفاحشة.
So warn and a great warning. Let's be careful against these this obscene act.
فإنها فضلا عما ترتب عليها من تلك العقوبات فإنها تفضي إلى ظهور الأمراض والأسقام والأوجاع الخطيرة.
Besides that, or those great punishments, those severe punishments, it is a thing which also brings about these dreadful diseases.
قال صلى الله عليه وسلم ما ظهرت الفاحشة في قوم قط إلا ظهر فيهم الأمراض والأسقام التي لم تكن ظهرت في الذين مضوا قبلهم.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, surely the obscene acts will not be spread in a group of people or in a society except that they will come upon them diseases which had not been previously present.
وهذا أمر ظاهر محسوس. وما مرض الإيدز منكم ببعيد.
And this is something which is clear, and we're living it, we're seeing it, we're experiencing it. And the news or the information about the disease called AIDS is not hidden from you.
إذن من علامات فلاح الأمة وأسباح نجاح كل فرد فيها ابتعادها عن الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن.
So from the signs and the traits of the success of the ummah is that we stay away from the obscene acts, whether openly or hidden.
وعلى الإنسان أن يعلم أن في الحلال مندوحة عن الحرام.
And somebody, everybody should know that what is in the halal, the permissible one, is enough and it takes away from what is impermissible.
فإذا كان الله تعالى حرم الزنا فقد أحل النكاح.
Now we see if Allah has made impermissible fornication and adultery, he has made permissible the legal marriage.
بل وأمر به.
Rather, he commanded it to it.
فقال سبحانه وأنكحوا الأيام منكم والصالحين من عبادكم وإمائكم.
He said what means and get married to the young girls from among you and the righteous believers.
وقد ذهب العلماء إلى أن النكاح واجب على من خاف على نفسه الوقوع في الزنا وكان قادرا على مهنة النكاح.
And the scholars have said that getting married is a must on the one who fears on himself that he'll fall into these acts while he is able to get married is a must on him.
لذلك كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ينصح الشباب بالزواج إذا استطاعوا.
Counsel and advise the youth to get married if they're able to.
فكان يقول يا معشر الشباب من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج فإنه أغض للبصر وأحسن للفرج.
So he used to say, oh youth, whoever is able to get married, then let him do it, because it is better in lowering the gaze and protecting the private part.
والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين. والآن ليس هناك ملك يمين، فلم يبقى هناك سبيل لقضاء الوطر وإشباع الغريزة إلا النكاح.
So here again the ayah says what means, and those who guard their private parts except from their wives or what the right hand possesses, that's the slaves. But now the right hands, what the right hand possesses, the slaves, these are not available. This is something which is not available right now, the world we live in. So right now, the only way to fulfill somebody's desires and to reach this goal is through the legal marriage, through the wife.
وكل إنسان يبتغي سبيلا لقضاء وطره وإشباع غريزته غير الزواج فهو باغ ملوم عاد.
So anybody who wants to fulfill his desires through any other way other than legal marriage, then surely he's somebody who's transgressing, he's somebody who's sinful, and he's passing the boundaries.
لذلك لما أمر الله تعالى بالنكاح أمر من لم يستطع الطول أن يستعفف.
That's why Allah, when he commanded people to get married, he said to those who cannot do it that they should preserve the chastity.
كذلك لما أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الشباب بالزواج قال ومن لم يستطع فعليه بالصوم فإنه له وجاء.
Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ, when he commanded the youth to get married, he said, and those who cannot afford it, then let him fast, because there will be a protection for him.
فكل السبل التي يسلكها الناس لقضاء الوتر وإشباع غريزة غير النكاح سبل محرمة.
So any other way which somebody goes through or traverses to fulfill his desires other than the legal marriage, then this is unallowed and it is transgressed.
ومن علامات فلاح الأمة والأفراد على حد سواء أداء الأمانة والوفاء بالعهد.
And from the signs of the success for the Ummah and for each individual is being truthful to the trust and fulfilling the confidence.
قال تعالى والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون.
Allah said that means those who are faithful or those who are faithful and true to their amana, their responsibilities, and those who fulfill their confidence.
فمن علامات فلاحك ونجاحك أن تكون أمينا.
So from the signs of your success and you to be saved is that you be trustful.
أمينا على ما ائتمنك الله عليه وأمينا على ما ائتمنك الناس عليه.
Trustworthy in regards to what Allah has given you things to observe and what the people have trusted you with.
الله تبارك وتعالى قد ائتمنك أمانة وهي الدين.
Allah has given you something you should take care of and that is the religion.
قال تعالى إنا عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا.
Allah said what means surely we gave or we displayed the amana, the trust to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, but they refused to take it and they were fearful from it. But then the human being took it and surely he is oppressive and ignorant.
والراجح من أقوال العلماء في المراد بهذه الأمانة أنها التكاليف الشرعية كلها.
And the most correct opinion from the opinions of the scholars in what this word amana means in this ayah is the all the duties and the responsibilities of the sharia which somebody is charged with.
فالوضوء أمانة.
So wudu is an amana.
إذا جئت إلى المسجد وصليت من غير وضوء من يستطيع أن ينكر عليك؟
So if you came and you prayed without making wudu, who can reproach you?
الغسل من الجنابة أمانة. فإذا اغتسلت فإذا صليت وأنت جنب من يستطيع أن يطلع عليك؟
Making ghusl, taking the bath after when you are junub, you are sexually defiled, it is a must, it is an amana which you have been given. So if you came and prayed without doing that, who can know?
الصيام أمانة. فإذا خرجت إذا أكلت في البيت وشربت وقلت للناس أنك صائم من يستطيع أن ينكر عليك؟
Fasting is an amana, but if you stay at home and you eat and you drink, then you come out to the people and say to them you are fasting, who can know?
وهكذا هذه أمثلة لبيان أن كل التكاليف الشرعية أمانة.
So and like this, these are some examples to clarify that every responsibility we have been given in the Sharia is an amana, a trust.
وقال ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما إن الله خلق الفرج وأتمن الإنسان عليه.
And ابن عمر said, surely Allah created the private part and he made the human being trustworthy or responsible about it.
ففرجك أمانة.
So your private part is a responsibility and trust on you.
لا تطأ به إلا ما أحل الله.
Do not use it except in what Allah has made permissible.
وكذلك سائر الأعضاء.
Likewise
أذنك أمانة لا تسمع بها إلا ما أحل الله. عينك أمانة لا تنظر بها إلا إلى ما أحل الله. يدك أمانة لا تبطش بها إلا ما أحل الله. رجلك أمانة لا تمشي بها إلا إلى ما أحل الله. بطنك أمانة لا تدخل فيها إلا الحلال الطيب. وهكذا التكاليف الشرعية أمانة، وأعضاؤك وجوارحك عندك أمانة.
Responsibilities, the duties in Islam, there are trust, and also your names which have been given, there are trust in you.
فكن أمينا على ما أتمنك الله عليه.
So be trustworthy in what Allah has given you over what you're supposed to be trusted with.
وإياك والخيانة.
And beware of being deceptive.
فإن الله تعالى قال:
Surely Allah said,
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تخونوا الله والرسول وتخونوا أماناتكم وأنتم تعلمون.
Allah said it means all who believe. Do not deceive Allah and do not deceive the messenger and you deceive the trust you are given what you know.
كما يدخل في الأمانة ما أتمنك الناس عليه.
Likewise, part of amana, being trustworthy or the trust is what the people give you to take care of.
فكل ما أتمنك الناس عليه فهو أمانة.
So everything the people give you to take care of, this is a trust.
فإذا استودعك إنسان مبلغا من المال فحافظ عليه، فإذا طلبه فرده إليه.
So if somebody came and gave you a portion or some money to take care of it or to preserve it for him, so when he comes, you should preserve it. When he comes to ask for it, give it back to him.
وإذا اقترضت من إنسان قرضا فهو أمانة، يجب عليك أن تردها متى حل الأجل أو متى استطعت أن تردها.
And when somebody or when you take a loan from somebody, it's a trust on you. When you're able to pay it back, you have to pay it back. Or whenever he asks it from you, you should give it back.
وإذا اشتريت سلعة بثمن مؤجل، فالثمن المؤجل أمانة، يجب عليك أن تردها إلى من باعك.
And when you buy something and you agree that you'll pay for it later, then there is a trust on you. Whenever you are supposed to pay, you should pay back.
يقول الله تعالى: إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها.
Allah said it means surely Allah commands you that you give back the trust to those who belong to who they belong to.
وهذه الأمانة ليست فيما بينك وبين أخيك المسلم فقط.
And this trust is that does not mean what we are saying. It's not just between you and another Muslim.
بل هي أمانة فيما بينك وبين المسلمين. وأمانة فيما بينك وبين غير المسلمين. وقد ذكر العلماء في تفسير قوله تعالى: إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها، أمثلة لما يجب على أن يكون عليه المؤمن من أداء الأمانة لغير المؤمن.
Made the tafsir or the explanation of this verse, which says or means what means Allah has commanded you to give back the trust to those whom they belong to. They've given some examples of this.
قالوا لو وقع مسلم أسيرا في يد غير مسلمين فاستقرض من غير المسلم قرضا ثم تمكن أن يهرب من الأسر ويرجع إلى أهله، فإن عليه أن يرد القرض لغير المسلم الحربي الذي كان أسيرا في يده.
The scholars mention of these examples that when a Muslim happens to fall as a prisoner, captive to non-Muslims, and so he happened to take a loan from a non-Muslim so that he can buy himself, he can ransom himself. Then he happened to get away to go away from this place. The scholars say it is a must on him to pay back that loan from the person he took it from.
قالوا ولو دخل غير مسلم بلاد المسلمين فاستودع مسلما مبلغا من المال ثم خرج فعلى المسلم أن يرد إليه ماله.
And they say another example, if a non-Muslim was to come to a Muslim society and a Muslim from that society happened to take a loan from that non-Muslim and then he left, it is a must on that Muslim, on the Muslim to return that money to the non-Muslim.
فإذا أردت الفلاح والنجاح فكن أمينا على ما أتمنك الله عليه أمينا على ما أتمنك الناس عليه.
So if you want success and to be saved, then be trustworthy. Trustworthy in what Allah has put a trust on you and what the people have trusted you with.
بل يدخل في الأمانة الكلمة يسرها إليك أخوك. فإذا قال لك أخوك شيئا من الكلام وعرفت أنه لا يحب أن تتحدث به فهو أمانة لا يجوز لك أن تتحدث به.
فإذا included also part of trust or amana is a word or something which your brother tells you in secret and you know that he would not be happy if you had to tell it to somebody else. So this is a trust on you. You are not supposed to say it to anybody else.
وإذا جلست مع قوم فاستمعت حديثهم فلا يجوز لك نقل هذا الحديث.
And when you sit with the people and you hear what they're talking about, it's not upon you, it's not allowed for you to take these words and go and spread them to other people.
فقد قال عليه الصلاة والسلام المجالس بالأمانة.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has said the sittings, the gatherings are through amana, trust.
وقال إذا حدث الرجل أخاه حديثا ثم التفت فهو أمانة.
Prophet Sallam said, when somebody, a brother, says to his fellow brother some words, and then he turns away, immediately now it becomes a responsibility, a trust on him.
فالأمانة ذات منزلة عظيمة في الإسلام.
So you see that the amana, the trust, is something which has a great value, a great state in Islam, status in Islam.
حتى قال أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه ما خطبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا قال لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له.
To the extent that we see Anas bin Malik said, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم never gave us any sermon except that he would say part of that sermon be, he does not have true belief, the one who does not observe the amana, the trust.
ومن علامات الفلاح والنجاح الوفاء بالعهد.
And from the signs of success and to be saved is to fulfill the covenants.
والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون.
As the verse says, it means those who are faithfully true to their amana and to their covenant.
فكل ما عاهدك الله عليه أو عاهدت الله عليه يجب عليك الوفاء به.
So everything which Allah has taken as a covenant from you or you took as a covenant from him, then you have to fulfill and observe that.
فالله تعالى عهد إلى عباده أن يعبدوه ولا يشركوا به شيئا.
Allah has taken a covenant from his slaves that they worship him alone and they don't commit any type of shirk.
قال تعالى وإذ أخذ ربك من بني آدم من ظهورهم ذريتهم وأشهدهم على أنفسهم ألست بربكم قالوا بلى شهدنا.
Allah said what means when he took the covenant from Adam and from his back, the his offspring, and he made them to bear witness, am I not your Lord? They said, yes, truly we bear witness that you are our Lord.
فمن وفى لله تعالى بعهده فعبده ولم يشرك به شيئا أدخله الله الجنة.
So whoever fulfills this covenant he took from Allah, that he worships him alone and does not commit any type of shirk, then Allah will enter him into paradise.
ومن نقض العهد فلم يعبد الله عز وجل دخل النار.
And whoever breaks this covenant or this treaty, then surely he commits shirk, then Allah will enter him into the hellfire.
ويوم القيامة يقول الله تعالى للذين نقضوا عهده ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم ألا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن يعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم ولقد أضل منكم جبلا كثيرا أفلم تكونوا تعقلون هذه جهنم التي كنتم توعدون اصلوها اليوم بما كنتم تكفرون.
And Allah will say in the day of judgment, those who broke the covenant will say to them, did I not give you a covenant? O human beings, that you don't worship the shaitan, surely he is a clear enemy to you, and that you worship me. This is the straight path, and surely he has deviated a lot of you. He has deviated huge numbers. Now today, enter the hell, this is the helper, enter into it.
وفي الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يقول الله تعالى لأهون أهل النار عذابا يوم القيامة أرأيت لو كانت لك الدنيا كلها أكنت مفتديا نفسك من عذابي؟ فيقول بلى يا رب. فيقول قد أردت منك ما هو أهون من ذلك، أردت منك أن تعبدني ولا تشرك بي شيئا فأبيت وأدخلك الجنة فأبيت إلا أن تشرك بي شيئا.
And from the authentic hadith, the Prophet says on the day of judgment, or Allah will say to the person who is the least punishment in the hellfire, he'll say to him, if you had all of the world, if you possessed all of this world, would you give it in to ransom yourself from the hellfire? He says, surely I'll do that. So Allah will tell him, indeed I ask you something just smaller than that in the dunya, in the world, that you worship me alone and you don't commit shirk, but you did not do it.
فعهد الله يجب الوفاء به.
So the covenant you take with Allah, it is a must to observe it.
وإذا عاهدت أنت الله عز وجل على فعل شيء وجب عليك أن تفي به.
And when you promise Allah to do something, then you have to fulfill that.
فإن الله تعالى مدح الموفين بعهدهم فقال من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه.
And Allah promised to those who fulfill what they promised. And Allah praised those who fulfilled the promises. He says what means, and from the believers, there are people who fulfilled what they promised Allah with.
كذلك يجب عليك أن تكون وفيا للناس بعهدهم.
Likewise, you have to be somebody who fulfills the trust or the confidence which you take from the people.
فإذا عهدت إنسانا على شيء فكن وفيا بعهدك مهما كلفك الوفاء.
So if you promise somebody something, then observe that promise no matter what happens.
فإن الله تعالى قال يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوفوا بالعقود.
Surely Allah says that means all you who believe, fulfill and observe the covenants.
وقال وبعهد الله أوفوا.
And he said another ayah what means, and with the covenant of Allah observe it.
وقال وأوفوا بالعهد إن العهد كان مسؤولا.
He said another ayah what means, and fulfill the covenants. Surely the covenants or the promises are asked, they'll be asked, they are accountable.
حتى إن الله تعالى نهى المسلمين عن نقض عهدهم مع غير المسلمين إذا علموا أن غير المسلمين يريدون أن ينقضوا عهدهم.
To the point to see that Allah ordered the believers that they should not break the covenant with the non-Muslims, even when they know the non-Muslims want to break that covenant.
قال تعالى وإما تخافن من قوم خيانة فانبذ إليهم على سواء إن الله لا يحب الخائنين.
Allah said what means, and when you know that there's a group, somebody who you have a treaty with, a covenant, that they want to break that covenant, then stay just like that. Do not be the first ones who break it, because Allah does not like those who break the promise.
والمعنى إذا كان بينك يا نبينا وبين أحد من غير المسلمين معاهدة تنص على وضع الحرب بينك وبينهم فعلمت أنهم يريدون أن يغدروا إذا علمت أنهم يريدون أن يغدروا وينقضوا عهدهم وميثاقهم فلا تكن أنت أول من ينقض العهد ويغدر، بل أدعهم وأعلمهم أنك قد ألغيت المعاهدة التي بينك وبينهم حتى تكون أنت وهم سواء في العلم بانتهاء معاهدة الصلح وإعلان حالة الحرب والطوارئ.
And the meaning of this ayah is that Allah is saying, oh you my prophet or our prophet, if you know from a people who you have a covenant between you and them, you had a covenant between you and them that there should be no fighting, and you know that now they want to break that covenant and go behind your back, do not be the first one who just breaks that covenant and goes and fights them. Rather call them and sit with them and inform them that you also want to break that covenant so that you can be equal, as in the ayah says, so that you can be on the same level, you can know what is going on.
وقد جعل الله تعالى الغدر والخيانة ونقض العهد من شيم المنافقين.
And Allah has made deception and breaking the covenant and unfaithfulness from the trace of the hypocrites.
فقال سبحانه ومنهم أي من المنافقين من عاهد الله لئن آتانا من فضله لنصدقن ولنكونن من الصالحين فلما آتاهم من فضله بخلوا به وتولوا وهم معرضون فأعقبهم نفاقا في قلوبهم إلى يوم يلقونه بما أخلفوا الله ما وعدوه وبما كانوا يكذبون.
And from them, meaning from the hypocrites, are those who gave a covenant and took a promise to Allah that if you give us from your wealth, we'll surely give in charity. But when Allah gave them from His favors, they turned away and they head back in stinginess and not give. So Allah punished them by striking hypocrisy into their hearts until the day He'll meet them because of what they broke of the covenant which they had with Allah.
وفي الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال أربع من كنا فيه كان منافقا خالصا ومن كانت فيه خصلة منهن كانت فيه خصلة من النفاق حتى يدعها إذا حدث كذب وإذا وعد أخلف وإذا تمن خان وإذا عاهد غدر.
And from the hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said four characteristics. When somebody has them, then he is a true hypocrite. And if he has one of them or two of them, then he has a sign from hypocrisy. One is that when he speaks, he lies. And when he takes a promise, he breaks it. And when he is trusted, he does not fulfill the trust. And when he is given a covenant, he breaks it.
فالوفاء من الإيمان والغدر والخيانة من الكفر والطغيان.
See, fulfilling the covenants is part of belief, while deception and unfaithfulness is from transgression and sinfulness.
فهذه هي علامات فلاح الأمة ووسائل فلاح الأفراد في كل مجتمع. وقد ختم الله تعالى هذه الصفات بأن وعد أهلها بأعلى درجات الجنة الفردوس، فقال سبحانه والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون.
So these are the traits or the signs for the success of the ummah and also for the success or means for individual success. As you see all these traits, then Allah promised these people who have these signs or these characteristics that Allah has promised them with the paradise, the Firdaus. As Allah says, those who are faithfully true to their amanah, their trust, and to their covenants, and those who strictly guard their five prayers, these are indeed the inheritors, those who shall inherit the Firdaus, the paradise they shall dwell therein forever.
نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يعيننا على الاتصاف بهذه الصفات المذكورة في هذه الآيات وأن يجعلنا من ورثة الفردوس الأعلى.
We ask Allah to make us from those who characterize ourselves with these characteristics which He mentioned in this ayat, and that He make us from those who inherit the paradise of Firdaus. Thank you.
Inshallah. Inshallah,
inshallah, we'll open the floor to questions, and we prefer all questions to be written, please. Write your questions. This is better for everybody. There's so much paper here. Whoever wants, he can write, inshallah. And then we'll take this time to remind you that the Shaykh tomorrow will be giving the khutbah at Quran and Sunnah. And he'll have a talk or a lecture at 7 p.m. inshallah, 7 p.m. after Isha. Then Saturday and Sunday, it will be from Dhuhr to Isha, from 2 o'clock to Isha, where the Shaykh will be explaining his book, Al-Wajiz, Fiqh al-Sunnah, Al-Kitab al-Aziz. The book, which is translated in English as The Concise Fiqh, the Shaykh will be explaining the chapters of Tahara and Salah. That's Saturday and Sunday, inshallah. And also for those who, in one way or the other, cannot attend, they can always view on the website of Quran and Sunnah, that's QSSC.org. Quran Sunnah Society of Canada.org, QSSC.org. There's always a live broadcast there. And also to remind you again, another announcement that Sheikh Mashhur Hassan, inshallah, is coming next week. Sheikh Mashhur Hassan is coming from Jordan. One of the students of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, he'll be here with us in Toronto next week. Again, if you have the details for the program, just check it on the website, inshallah. But Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, that's next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, he'll be at Quran and Sunnah also, inshallah. Question is asking, ما الوسائل المعينة على حفظ القرآن الكريم؟ أو وسائل مفيدة؟ المعينة؟ معينة.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله.
The question is asking, what are the helpful or the good ways which will help in memorizing the Quran?
أحسن الوسائل لحفظ القرآن الكريم أولا أن تعرف فضل حفظ القرآن الكريم.
The most beneficial things which help in memorizing the Quran Kareem, the Noble Quran, is to know first the excellence of memorizing the Quran.
وأن تحرص على ذلك.
And that you be diligent in that.
وأن تلح على الله تعالى بالدعاء.
And that you turn to Allah with supplication.
وأن تصدق في العزم.
And that you be truthful in this achieve in this goal of yours.
وتخلص النية لله عز وجل.
And that you purify your intention.
ثم تبدأ بتقرير مقرر تحفظه كل يوم.
And that you draw out a schedule for every day, a portion of every day.
وإن قل.
Even if it is.
ولو خمس آيات كل يوم.
Even if it is just five verses every day.
فتستمر على ذلك.
And that you could be continuous on that.
وتبدأ بجزء عام.
Start with the juz am, the last part of the Quran.
ثم تبارك.
And then تبارك the 29th.
ثم قد سمع.
Then قد سمع the 28th.
وهكذا.
And like that.
ومن الخطأ أن تبدأ بحفظ سورة البقرة.
And from the mistakes is that you start by memorizing سورة البقرة.
لأنها سورة طويلة.
Because it's a long سورة.
وآياتها طويلة.
And its verses are long.
وليست مسموعة.
And it's not something which is.
ولا مقروءة.
Something which is readily not so often recited or read.
بينما جزء عام.
Read the جزء عام on the other side.
يقرأ كثيرا.
And is recited so much.
ويسمع كثيرا.
And hear it so many times.
وسور قصيرة.
And its surahs are short.
وآيات قصيرة.
And its verses are also short.
فمن السهل أن تبدأ بحفظه إن شاء الله.
So it's from the easy ways that you begin by memorizing it. The last
part of the Quran. وإذا كثر حفظك.
It becomes so much.
فلا بد من مراجعته دائما.
When you memorize much, then you have to review constantly.
فمتى زاد المحفوظ عن ثلاثة أجزاء؟
So whenever you memorize more than three juz'us,
وجب عليك أن تقرأ كل يوم ثلاثة أجزاء.
That is a must on you that you recite every day three juz'us.
وبذلك تصل إلى النهاية إن شاء الله.
And by this, inshallah, you reach your intended goal. كيف يقوم الأمر المعروف ونهي المنكر. How is the or how do we do the commanding of the good and forbidding evil?
الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر فريضة من فرائض هذا الدين.
Commanding good and forbidding evil are from the obligations of this religion.
قال الله تعالى ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون.
الله said, let there, what means let there be a group from you who command the good and forbid the evil, and those ones are the ones who are successful.
وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه وذلك أضعف الإيمان.
Prophet said, whoever amongst you sees a sin or an evil thing happening, then let him forbid it by his hand. If he cannot do it, then let him do it by his tongue. And if he cannot do that, then let him at least detest it by his heart. And that is the weakest of faith.
إلا أنه لا يجوز لك أن تأمر بالمعروف حتى تعلم أنه معروف.
But you cannot, it is not permissible on you to command good until you know what is good.
ولا تنهى عن منكر حتى تعلم أنه منكر.
You cannot forbid evil until you know what is evil.
وأن تكون هينا لينا رفيقا رقيقا في أمرك ونهيك.
And that you be somebody who is easy and lenient and kind in commanding your good and forbidding your evil.
وألا يفضي تغيير المنكر الذي تنكره إلى منكر أعظم منه.
And that this evil which you are forbidding, it does not lead to another evil thing.
فإن درء المفاسد مقدم على جلب المصالح.
Surely preventing the disadvantages of the evil things, it is preceded, it is given preference over doing the good things.
وارتكاب أخف الضررين قاعدة أصولة من أصولية من أصول الدين.
And there's a principle from the principles of the religion of taking the one which is the lesser evil.
No.
This is the. The question is asking, could you give me advice in seeking knowledge in Egypt, with those who are steadfast in order to obtain knowledge. نرجو منكم النصيحة في طلب العلم في مصر مع الذين هم يوظفون في طلب العلم.
ننصح من أراد أن ينزل إلى مصر ليطلب فيها العلم أن يلتحق بالأزهر الشريف.
We advise those who want to go to Egypt to seek knowledge that they join and enroll in the Al-Azhar University.
وهناك امتحان يحدد مستوى الطالب.
And there's an examination or a test which will determine your level.
حتى يتحدد الصف الذي ستدرس فيه.
So that you can be known the actual level which you will enter into.
فإذا التحقت بالأزهر فعليك أن تبحث عن علماء السنة في مصر وتجلس عندهم وتأخذ العلم الشرعي منهم.
And after you have been enrolled into the university, then look for the scholars who are upon the Sunnah in Egypt and seek knowledge from them.
وبذلك تجمع بين الحسنيين.
And by this you'll be joining between two good things.
تحصل على شهادة من جامعة الأزهر.
You'll get a certificate or a diploma from the University of Azhar.
وتتعلم من علماء السنة العقيدة والفقه الصحيح.
And you'll learn from the scholars of the Sunnah on the other part the correct aqidah and the correct authentic Sunnah. The question is asking, the woman pays zakat with their jewelry. The Sheikh mentioned this. I mentioned many folks. This question is asking, can you keep a business that has been inherited? However, when the business was initially purchased, it was purchased on usual. Not the business is already paid for. يقول هل لي أن أبقى في التجارة الذي أورثت من الأب؟ لكن السؤال هو التجارة نفسها يعني بدأت بطريقة الربوية والآن قد وفى الربا.
يقول أنه ورث عن أبيه تجارة وكان أبوه قد بدأها برأس مال حرام، أخذ قرضا من الربا وهو قد قضى هذا القرض. إذا كانت التجارة نفسها مباحة حلالا فعملك فيها ليس فيه بأس إن شاء الله تعالى.
الشيخ saying, again to repeat the question, the brother is saying he inherited a business from his parent and it happened that the business was started through usury or interest and now the interest has been paid. The Shaykh is saying if the actual business, the dealings are the things which are permissible, then it's okay for you to keep on doing that business. السؤال يقول كثيرا من إخواننا الشباب هذه الأيام يقعون في العادة السرية، ما عقوبتها في الدنيا والآخرة وما تنصح الشباب جزاك الله خير؟ The question is saying there's many from the youth these days who do their secret act, the masturbation. So what is its punishment in this world and the hereafter, and what is your advice?
قلنا أثناء الشرح أن كل السبل التي يسلكها الناس لقضاء الوطر وإشباع الغريزة الجنسية كلها محرمة إلا سبيل النكاح.
We said during the lecture that every way or every means which somebody seeks to fulfill his desires, it is haram except the way of the legal marriage.
قال تعالى إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون.
Allah said what means except from their wives or what their right hand possesses, for them they are free from blame. And whoever seeks beyond that, meaning beyond the husband, the wife or the what the right hand possesses, then those are the transgressors.
فما يعرف عند غير المتزوجين بالعادة السرية وهي الإنزال باليد أو بغيرها حرام.
So what this thing which is known between those who are not married as the hidden act masturbation, that there is by reaching or ejaculating through using the hand or any other way, this is haram, impermissible.
لأن الله قال إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم.
Because Allah said except on their wives or from what the right hand possesses.
ثم قال فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون.
Then he said whoever seeks from other than the masturbation is included in this thing
which من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج فإنه غض للبصر وأحسن الفرج ومن لم يستطع فعليه بالصوم فإنه له وجاء. فليس ثم إلا النكاح أو الصوم، ولو كانت هناك وسيلة لقضاء الوطر غير ذلك لأرشد إليها النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, O youth, those of you who are able to get married, have the ability, then let them get married. Because this is better in lowering the gaze and protecting the private part. But for those who can't do it, then for them is fasting. Because this is a shield or a protection for them. So you see the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he made it very clear. There's only getting married or fasting which is the shield. There's nothing in between them. الحديث من صلى في اليوم والليلة 12 ركعة بني له قصر في الجنة. هل يستنزم من هذا الحديث بأن تصلي كل يوم؟ The question is saying about the hadith which says whoever prays in every night and day rak'ahs, 12 units, it will be built for him a palace in Jannah or a house in Jannah, paradise. Does this mean that you have to pray every day.
من صلى لله تعالى ثنتي عشرة ركعة كل يوم بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة. لا يلزم أن يكون هذا كل يوم في حياتك، بل نرجو أن يكون كل يوم مستقلا عما قبله وعما بعده. فإذا صليت اليوم ثنتي عشرة ركعة تطوعا بنى الله لك بيتا في الجنة، وغدا لم تصلي لم تنل هذا الأجر، بعد غد صليت تنال الأجر. فالحديث يشمل اليوم الواحد المستقل. من صلى لله تعالى كل يوم ثنتي عشرة ركعة بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة.
الشيخ السيد الحديث says that whoever prays for the sake of Allah 12 rak'ahs, Allah will build for him a house in Jannah, in paradise. We don't say that this is connected to all of your life when you have to pray every single day of your life. Rather we say, we hope that the meaning of the hadith is that every day has this reward. Meaning if you pray in one day the 12 rak'ahs, you get a house in Jannah. Even if you don't pray tomorrow, you didn't pray the previous day. ما حكم الأكل في مكان يعمل فيه لحم الخنزير وحكم العمل في هذا المكان؟ The question says, what is the ruling of eating in a place where there is pork or working in this, on this kind of a place?
إذا دخلت مطعما فيه الحلال والحرام ولم تجد مطعما خاص بالحلال تأكل فيه وأنت ستأكل لحما حلالا فلا يضرك من أكل الحرام، فلا يضرك من أكل الحرام، لأنه لم يأتي نهي عن الجلوس في مكان يؤكل فيه الحرام. أما الخمر فقد جاء فيها حديث عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال: من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فلا يجلس على مائدة تدار عليها الخمر.
If you enter a place where it happens to be that pork is served in that place and you just wanted to eat and you're going there to eat from the halal meat, then there's nothing stopping you, there's nothing wrong from eating there as long as you eat from what is halal, because there's no text which came to make it impermissible to eat in a place where there's pork which is served. But there is a text which says, this is about alcohol now, that whoever believes, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever believes in Allah in the last day, let him not sit on a table where there is alcohol being served.
The whole place or only one place?
يعني الخمر يدار على مائدتك فقط ولا ممكن أنت في مائدة أخرى ليس فيها خمر؟ لا ابعد ابعد. هذه مائدة وهذه مائدة، ابعد عن المكان كله.
Brothers asking, the hadith says, whether it's better for you to stay away from this place. You know,
the second part, working at a place that
I'm serving.
العمل في مكان فيه محرمات لا يجوز. لا يجوز للمسلم أن يعمل في مكان هو عمل مباح ولكن في نفس المكان عمل محرم، لأن هذه دائرة واحدة وتصب في مكان واحد. والله تعالى قال: وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان.
The second part of the question was about working in such an environment where there's pork being served. The Sheikh says, well, it is not okay for him to work in this kind of a place because his work could be okay, but the same place there's things which are haram, and all of this, it all comes back to the same place, the same source basically. And Allah says what means cooperating what is good and righteous and not cooperating evil and transgression. ما حكم المصب الإزاره بغير قصد مع أنه يعلم بالحديث ما أسفل من الكعبين في النار ولكن إزاره بعض الأحيان يكون أسفل الكعبين. The question is saying, what is the ruling of إسبال having the trouser or the undercloth to be past the ankles without him knowing, unintentional, and he knows about the hadith.
الإسبال هذا الإسبال هذه كبيرة.
This is a major sin from the major sin. Either if someone is intending to show off and is pride, or if he's not proud and is not showing off.
ففي الحديث الإسبال من المخيلة.
Because the Prophet said in the hadith that this action itself arises from being proud. It's a part of being proud.
فالإسبال ليس من علام من أعمال القلوب ولكنه من الأعمال الحسية.
So this act, again the hadith said that this letting the cloth isbal is part of pride. It's part of pride. Even though it's not from the matters of the heart, but it's from the physical things.
فلا تقل أنا لا أقصد الخيلاء.
So don't say that I don't intend to be showing off and being pride and arrogant.
فإن نفس طول الثوب هو خيلاء.
This act itself of getting the cloth, it is part of being arrogant and pride.
والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول ثلاثة لا يكلمهم الله ولا ينظر إليهم يوم القيامة ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم. تأمل هذا الوعيد، لا يكلمهم الله ولا ينظر إليهم يوم القيامة ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم.
Some say surely there's three types of people. Allah will not look at them, and Allah will not talk to them, and Allah will not purify them from their sins, and they'll have a tough punishment. Ponder over these things. Allah will not look at them, He'll not purify them from their sins, He'll not talk to them, and they have a tormenting, painful punishment.
قال أبو ذر خابوا وخسروا يا رسول الله من هم؟
Abu Dhar said, Ya Rasul, O Messenger of Allah, these people are distracted and they're in a loss.
قال المسبل والمنان والمنفق سلعته بالحلف الكاذب.
The Prophet said the first one, المسبل, the one who does this action of dragging the clothes, and the منان, the one who gives charity and then he announces he takes it as a favor on the person. He keeps reminding that person of this favor he did to him. And the one who sells his goods by just swearing.
فعلى كل رجل مسلم أن يكون ثوبه فوق الكعبين، فوق الكعبين، أن يكون الكعبان ظاهرين غير مغطي.
Above his ankles, above his.
مستعمله.
الذهب الحلي.
تقصد الذهب.
So the jewelry of the woman.
الذهب قلنا في أثناء الشرح الذهب والفضة. فيهما الزكاة إذا بلغ النصاب وحال الحول لعموم الآية والذين يكنزون الذهب والفضة ولا ينفقونها في سبيل الله فبشرهم بعذاب أليم.
The gold and the silver, as we said in the lecture, that they are supposed to be paid for the zakah, because they enter into the generality of the ayah, the verse which means, and those who hoard or keep back the gold and the silver and do not spend it for the sake of Allah, for in the cause of Allah, then promise them of a tormenting punishment.
إخراج الذهب الذي للزينة والحلي من هذا العموم يحتاج إلى دليل.
Now taking away the jewelry which is worn by a woman from this command, saying it does not enter into this command, then or from this verse, this requires a proof.
وليس هناك دليل.
There's no proof for this.
بل جاء الدليل الصحيح الصريح في وجوب زكاة الذهب إذا كان للزينة.
And rather, on the contrary, there's a clear and explicit proof which shows that you have to pay the zakah on the jewelry, which is just for adornment. The jewelry the woman just wears for purification.
في الحديث عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت دخل علي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وفي يدي فتخات أي أساور من ورق فقال ما هذا يا عائشة اسمعوا الجواب واسمعنا أيتها المسلمات قال ما هذا يا عائشة ما هذه الأساور قالت صنعتهن أتزين لك بهن يا رسول الله فهذا نص صريح في الزينة صنعتهن أتزين لك بهن يا رسول الله قال أتؤدين زكاتها قالت لا قال هي حسبك من النار.
Now the the Prophet ﷺ said in the clear proof, in the clear hadith from Aisha, that the Prophet ﷺ one time entered upon her and she was wearing two bracelets of silver. So he asked her, "What are these, O Aisha?" She said, and the Shaykh says, "All Muslim women, listen to this clear hadith, listen very carefully." She said, "These are two bracelets which I bought, so that I can beautify myself for you. So that I can beautify myself for you." So these were for beautification, adornment, jewelry for adornment. The Prophet ﷺ asked her, "Do you give the zakah for them?" She said, "No." So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "There are enough of the fire for you."
So does that mean that they have to give the zakah or not?
Huh?
They have to give the zakah to make it halal for them to wear, or they should just revert?
The Shaykh is saying you have to pay the zakah.
And you can wear it.
You can wear it now.
If you pay the zakah.
السؤال يقول النصران يذبح ولا يذكر اسم الله ما حكمه ذبيحته. What is the ruling on eating meat from a Christian who slaughters but does not mention the name of Allah?
الله تبارك وتعالى أحل لنا ذبائح أهل الكتاب من اليهود والنصارى فقال وطعام الذين أوتوا الكتاب حل لكم ولم يشترط علينا ربنا سبحانه وتعالى شرطا. فالأصل في ذبائح اليهود والنصارى الحل، إلا أن يثبت عندك العكس. إذا علمت أنه أهل بها لغير الله، أو أنه خنقها، أو أنه صعقها، أو غير ذلك، حرمت عليك. لكن الأصل فيها الإباحة والحل.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made it permissible for us the meat of the people of the scriptures, the Jews and the Christians, and He said what means, and the food of the people of the scriptures is made permissible for you, and your food is made permissible for them. So He made it permissible for us without setting up any condition. So it is permissible unless you know otherwise, that you know that He actually slaughters for other than Allah. He slaughters for other than Allah. It's a ritual slaughtering, as they say. Or he strangled it. He did not slaughter, he strangled it. Or he shocked it, something like that. Tahal waqt. Now, so inshallah we'll come to an end. And again tomorrow to be at Quran Sunnah. Subhanakallahumma.
Subhanakallahumma. Inshallah. La ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.